with God, with God. Amen. Let's pray once again. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We ask you, Lord God, to come into the midst of these, your people, once again. We ask you to lift up the brokenhearted, those that may be bruised or discontent, that may be in a time of transition, going through a trial or test. Prepare them for a time of trouble if necessary. Let us know, Lord God, that you are still in our lives, for you said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for these, your people, for those that support this ministry both near and far. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give me the words to say as we preach the word this morning with truth and in love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Powerful series of scripture, very powerful series of scripture. In verse 12 it says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me." The gentleman that's talking here is John the Revelator, also known as the Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples in his old age. "And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands," that represent the churches, if you will. "And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the sun," or like a son of man, "clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a gold sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire." It didn't say his hair was wool. It said his hair was the color of white, like wool. Verse 15, "His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace." Not dark bronze like a penny, but bronze as in soon as you pull it out, it's like a burning amber in a furnace. "And his voice was like the sound of many waters," at Daytona Beach or in the Caribbean somewhere, the ocean. "In his right hand he held seven stars," represent the preachers, "and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, dividing left and right, sheep and goats. And his face was like the sun, shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." Amen. "And he placed his right hand," good God Almighty, "on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell.'" Amen. The title of this morning's message is a continuation, part two of our series, "I Am." I am. This specific message, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus." Amen. Thank you. "There was an old man who was exiled on an island called Patmos." Patmos Island, an area in the Mediterranean, if you will. "He was isolated, a castaway, sentenced to live his final years to die alone. He was put into such a predicament because of his love for Jesus, whom he followed closely as a much younger man." When John was sitting in the bosom of Jesus at the table of the Last Supper, it is said that he was about 17 or 18 years old. In error, some of us today try to believe that you can have a 17 or 18 year old apostle. But that is a wrong way of trying to draw what happened back then and pull it to right now, because one of the chief qualifications of being an apostle at that time is that you have to be chosen face to face by Jesus, and I don't see anybody that fits that qualification in our modern time. There are apostles of the church in a governmental sense, but no apostles of Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all all right with that one? Okay. So this particular young man that is now an old man was actually one of the last surviving apostles that was known to be the one who emphasized love within his writings about Jesus' time on earth. For example, you remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that many men might be saved. It was this particular gentleman that wrote that. So this particular man, who was also the chosen vessel to see Jesus in his glorified body at the Mount of Transfiguration, there is Peter, James, and John, and then we saw Jesus only. That's this John, same gentleman. He saw a lot just as a young man. So for all of the young men and young ladies that come to church continuously, I salute you. Oftentimes when we get older, we push God out because of all that we have went through and all that we acquire in this world. So this man was a chosen vessel. And in his latter years, some historians believe that he was around 90 years old when he had the vision of the eyes of fire, the feet of bronze, and the hand of stars. He was about 90 years old, imprisoned at that moment in time. But this man had one of the most single, truthful, astounding experiences with Jesus that no one else had the privilege to witness. And that is Jesus as the Lion of Judah. As I said before, eyes of fire, a countenance as bright as the sun. When you hear the word countenance, it represents his glory. If you need an example of that, just look at the sun with some sunglasses. First, you have the rock. Jesus is the rock. Then, outside of the rock, you have light. Light. That's the brightness that gives off the glory of the particular sun. The light represents the Holy Spirit. And then you have the heat. Oh, my goodness. The heat in and of itself is the Father. You can't see him, but you sure can feel him. And when the heat is on, you know it. And when the heat is off, you know it too. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. So God is not the sun. It's just a way to explain through natural means how you can have three things in one entity. They're separate, but still equal to each other. Eyes of fire. A countenance as bright as the sun. A voice sounding like the crashing waves of an ocean with all of heaven's angels under his command. And earth preachers in the palm of his hand. We're talking about Jesus. This marvelous vision in the book of Revelation. John realized that this was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the co-creator, the master builder, the chief cornerstone of the universe. What a breathtaking vision to behold. And finally, what an introduction to today's message. I am Jesus. So as you can see in your screen, I'm going to show you a nice little portrait of Jesus. Go ahead and show it right there. You like that portrait of Jesus? You saw what I did there? After all I taught, you know good and well. Okay, well. So this is a portrait of Jesus. So what do we see here? We see Jesus, number one, as the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread. So if you're hungry, he can feed you. You also see that Jesus is the light of the world. So when you go through a dark time in your life, turn on the lights, light a candle. It's like a candle that sitteth upon a hill. Let your light so shine among men. Jesus is also the door into the sheepfold. So the only way that you can get to God is through Jesus Christ. Another thing is that he's the good shepherd, not a sometimey shepherd, not a regular shepherd, not a shepherd that's all broke down, busted, and disgusted, but he's the good shepherd that will guide us. Better yet, as the old people say, lead me, guide me along the way. It is Jesus that leads us and guides us as the good shepherd, lifting us up when we are broken, battered, and bruised, and then also correcting us when we need correction in our lives. The good shepherd. He's also the resurrection and the life. He is also the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to talk about that later. And last but not least, the true vine. If you abide in him, he will abide in you. As long as you stay hooked up to the power source, to make it plain, then you won't run out of power. Power, power, wonder working power. In the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Yes, he is power, true power, the precious Lamb of God. He's the true vine. We are its branches. You can cut him off, but he's going to keep on going. But I'd rather that you stay connected so that you can keep on going. So that if there's anything that we can affirm in regards to God, it is through his begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Separate but equal. Who being fully God and fully man understood the issues, wills, and passions of men. He was 100% God. 100% man, hypostatic union, an old doctrine that debunks other faiths and other teachings that says that Jesus is just a man. Because I don't know about you, but I've never met a perfect man or woman before in my life. And they do not have the power to raise the dead. They do not have the power to forgive sins, and they definitely don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. Jesus. He is God. So as we go further, I also want to let you know that Jesus knows what pain is. He knows what betrayal is. He knows what it means to be celebrated on one hand and then scorned on the other. He has experienced temptation in every aspect of life. We can know him. We can trust him and rely on him. Thankfully, we can love him because he first loved us. There's a certain sense of appreciation that comes with walking with God through Jesus Christ. There's a certain sense of adoration that billows within a child of God after having a deep relationship with the author and finisher of the gospel. So let's look at the word to reveal this great I am as revealed in scripture. In John chapter 1 verses 1 through 14, we're going to go line upon line and precept upon precept as we reveal Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1, and once again, this is the same young man. So we have the old man that saw a vision of God in all of his glory. Not an old fool, but an old man that has walked and has sacrificed himself. It is said that the reason why they exiled him is that when they tried to put him in a boil of boiling oil, he actually survived. So they tried to kill him multiple times. Multiple times. All because he would not bow down to the many gods that were going on around during Greek culture. He said, no, that's not my God. They tried to kill him, couldn't kill him. And they said, well, he must be, you know, some type of demigod himself. Even in their ignorance, they said, okay, we can't touch this man. We'll just put him by himself to die. And as he was dying in his latter years, his spirit came alive. He saw the vision of Jesus in his glorified body. Once again, he saw Jesus in his flesh. He saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration as one of the three between Peter and James. He saw Jesus when he returned just for a brief period in time with hands still pierced, with feet still pierced, witnessing the foolishness of Thomas when he said, "Lord, I don't know if you're real." And Jesus said, "Take your hand and reach into my side." He saw all of that. And with loving eyes, excuse me, there's somebody at the door. With loving eyes, he still looked on. With loving eyes, he was still able to behold what was going on in regards to the life of Jesus. And then finally, this same man, John, saw Jesus ascend to the Father in his glorified body, but not like this glorification. This was on another level. This was something entirely different. And so what led up to this? Well, when you look at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, let's start off with one of the most starkest pieces of what I call holy legislation in all of Scripture. And that is this truth that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So that means that this tells us that God and his Word are one and the same. And the Word was God. Look at that. So when you read Scripture, you're reading the mind, will, and intent of God. Although man was used as the instrument in order to write the Scripture, it was the master behind it all. I promise you, a man couldn't think of all of that. They had no Google. They had no Facebook. They had none of that stuff. And it wasn't one author. It was several authors across a year, years, about 1,500 years that put this mosaic of text together to reveal just a small piece of who God is. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So they call the Word a He. Look at that. What does this let us know? Well, preacher, I have to know what is going on here. Number one, this tells us that Jesus is eternal. He is eternal. You'll see it in just a moment. Because all things came through him. Remember? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, let's go a little bit further. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The Father came up with the plan. The Son formed everything with his hands. And the Holy Spirit is the one that breathed life into everything. Three in one, one in three. Separate, but equal. So this lets us know that Jesus is eternal and Jesus is the Word manifested among us. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that is a very powerful statement, because we're talking about the Word and the Word being equal with God. But now this same Word, which is manifested as Jesus Christ, this text says that everything was made by the hands of Jesus. Let me make it plain. Jesus was the carpenter of creation. He was a carpenter in this life, and he was the carpenter before any of us existed. You have the person that draws out the blueprints, that's the Father, and then you have the one who actually carries out and puts everything in order. I know what you need. You need a heart. Oh, you need two eyes. You need a mouth. Let me come up with some substance. Let me reach from out of the universe and plant some of these things on the inside of you, oh, my creation. I'm following the will of the Father as I construct these bodies, as I construct these trees, as I construct the plants, as I construct the atmosphere, the first heaven, the second heaven, as well as the third heaven. I formed all these things with my hand. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, I breathe myself into man. the Ruach, the breath of God, and he became a living soul. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This lets us know that Jesus is the light of mankind. And how is he the light? Because of him, we now have access to salvation. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are able to stand boldly before the throne of that same grace, able to petition the Father on what we need in this life. Amen. Through prayer and through supplication, we have access to salvation. We can't get to God because we decide that we just want to be saved this Sunday. That's not how it works. Amen. First, he has revealed himself to us, and then our hearts are pricked. And after our hearts are pricked, then we come to him. Now, the way that we come is various. The way that we come may be multiplied. The way that we come is manifold. What do you mean by that? There's only one way to God, but there's many paths to Jesus. You may come in a drunken stupor in the club with a whole bunch of bullet holes in your car, and you say, Lord God, I'm ready to give up. You may come as a result of the preaching of the word on one particular Sunday morning after being drugged by your boo or drugged by your significant other to the house of the Lord, and then something on the inside says, I need to change. You may come in multiple ways, but there's only one way from that point to God, and that's through Jesus, the all-sufficient one. And then the scripture once again says in verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the dark don't understand it at all. This lets us know that Jesus doesn't make sense to the world, nor do his people. How can light and dark fellowship one with another? You may have that unsaved coworker, and y'all were cool with each other for this first part of the year. But then one Easter Sunday morning, you gave your life to God, and now y'all feel some type of way about each other. Oil and water do not mix. You can still be a friend to them, but y'all are nothing like each other. That's why, even as a perfect man, Jesus was still scorned. That's why even as a perfect man that loves everybody, he's still maligned on social media, in the minds and of people, and even among us when we're disobedient to the Father's will. But then verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Look at that. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Amen. Notice the distinction here. How he says he's just a witness of the light, but he is not the light. So for all of you that like to be enlightened, your light that comes from within is your knowledge, your will, your understanding, which is actually a dark light. Because no man can produce light on his own. No man can. Either you're in the light or you're not. You could be in the light and be imperfect, but at least you're in the light. The wonderful thing I love about light is that when the light shines so bright, you can't see all of the imperfections. You can no longer see you. It's kind of like a flashbang. Any of you that have been in the military, you've seen the flashbang, and it blinds everybody because the light is so bright. You can't see if the person has messed up teeth. You can't see if the person got club feet, messed up hands, messed up hair. You can't see any of that because the light engulfs the person. The light that I speak of is the righteousness of God, of which we hide inside of. All of our imperfections, all of our issues, all of our circumstances, all of our flaws are hidden in Christ. Therefore, we have a being. Let me make it plain. In him we move and have our being. He's the light of mankind. So while there's a distinction in the light and dark sense, there's also a distinction in regards to the witness. John was the witness to the light, letting us know that we can be a witness. I love the song. I'm a witness. Yes, I'm a witness. Oh, I'm a witness. Yes, I'm a witness. I'll be a witness. Yes, I'm a witness. I'm a witness of the Lord. Old song. We are witnesses. Witnesses of the light. People can let their light shine only so much if there's no Jesus in it. Because we're like candles. Our light can go out with the right type of pressure. Oh, you think you strong today? Oh, you think you don't need me? Okay. And then what ends up happening is that we're walking in darkness. Have you ever met somebody or seen somebody that is so deep into darkness that they can't see their way out? No. I'm trying to get myself together. How can you get yourself together in a dark room? How can you put yourself together in a dark room? Anybody, if your power has ever gone out and you've ever been pitch black dark, you can have all the resources around you in the world. You can even memorize the pattern of your house like many of us done. I know exactly everything. And then all of a sudden, what ends up happening is while you think that you know, you stomp your foot. And your foot look just like this. I'm talking about your pinky toe. You didn't see it coming. You thought that you had it all together. But then when you hit that vulnerable place, it shut your entire body down. You woke up everybody in the house because you were full of pain. Oh, God, my pinky toe. I stubbed my toe. Some of y'all that were saved cussed at that moment. It's like they cussed when they looked at the clock this morning and be like, I'm late. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So we could be a witness. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. It reaffirms that Jesus is the co-creator. He's the carpenter. Now, sometimes when people think of a carpenter, they just think of somebody who just builds wood. But what you should think of it when you look at the text, especially in the Greek, the carpenter really means somebody that not only deals with wood, but also with stone. Wood represents man. God represents the stone. Both of them are substances that he works with. So while wood may be man, and then the foundation of our faith may be the stone, we understand that Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. So he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. What this means to you and I is that Jesus was rejected by those closest to him. How many of y'all in here have ever been betrayed before in your life? If you have not been betrayed before, or somebody has not turned their back on you, and I'm talking about not just somebody, put it this way, if you don't know me, it's very hard for me to really betray you deeply. I'm talking about the type of betrayal like a mama daddy betrayed you type of thing. Or I'm talking about a sister brother or your husband betraying you or your wife betraying you. You were cool for all these years and then I checked your inbox and it was you, me, and she or he, if you're freaky. What we gonna do, baby? Somebody just got that. Come on, wake up this morning. You're supposed to be a woke church now. You woke? Anybody here woke? That type of rejection is something else. You can brush off the other ones, but you can't brush off the person that keeps coming to the cookout every year. You can't brush off the person that brought you life into this world. But Jesus knew how that feels. And he knows how it feels now. But verse 12 tells us a little bit more. And it gives us the outline of this rejection. Number one, but as many, verse 12, as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Notice the pivot. So while folk rejected him, he still had his arms open wide for others. So, but once again, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became, watch this, flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In that statement, we see the revealing of Jesus Christ. All of those verses reveal him, but that is a distinct nature and is broken up into two parts. Verses 12 and 13 lets us know that we don't choose to be Christians. You missed that. We don't choose to be Christians. He chooses us. Once again, repeating, but as many as received him, not as many as decided to want to be saved one day, but as many who, when they felt the pulling of God on the inside, said, yes, Lord. As many people who said, yes, Lord, to what God was saying to the inside of them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe, watch this, in his name, who were born not of blood. So just because you were born and raised in church does not make you saved. Your relatives, the evangelists, prophets, you got the full fivefold ministry in your house and you grew up all around them, but you still love things of the world. You don't miss those shows at night, but we miss church over and over again and say, sarcastically, God knows my heart. You and I both know that oftentimes when folks say that, they don't really mean it. And we've all said it. That's a way to placate or to pacify our disobedience before a holy God. So once again, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't just be like, okay, I feel like going on. No. So it's not because of your actions that you were chosen by God. He revealed himself, and prayerfully you received him. Amen. Nor of the will of man, but of God. So it is God that brings people into the kingdom. And then they come to church. That's how it is. They get saved out there, and God reveals himself out there, and then they come here to find out what happened to them. And what's going to, and what they have access to. That's what church is for. To find out what happened to you when you got saved. Somebody's at the door again. It's going to happen all day. Be like, I thought it was 10:47. Oh, Lord. So this is one of the times where everybody could turn back and be like, you should have been on time. All right. Don't y'all do that. Don't be like that. So his word became flesh and dwelt among us. This lets us know our next point, which is, yet he who still opened his arms to those who want to know him. He still opened his arms. He still allows for us to know him. He still allows for us to be able to come into his presence. He still allows for us to find out who he is. That's very important. And as a result of him opening up his arms with love, people can enter the kingdom of God and heaven. Come to me, all those that are burdened and heavy laden, that are worried, worn, sad, bruised, broken, bewildered, broke, beaten, battered, bruised. Come on. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. See, one of the things that kind of baffles me about pardons, like some of you may have seen in the news where our president pardoned this one particular naval soldier that went through some things and ended up being in prison. He pardoned him. Now, you would think that everybody would rejoice over this criminal being let go free. But not everybody was happy. Some people were like, cool. But a lot of people, because of that person's past and what they did, would rather they stay in jail forever. That's part of it. But what I believe really makes a lot of people upset about a pardon is because a greater power came in and nothing can overturn it. You see, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he gives us a great pardon. But the pardon doesn't just last for that particular series of crimes that you committed before he gave it. The pardon actually is ever present. But there's more. Not only is his pardon ever present, it goes into the future. So he pardons you from what you've done in the past. He releases whatever you're doing right now. And the part that I like, which is the blessed assurance, is that he pardons what is going to happen in the future, if you receive him, that is. That's why it's hard to fight God. You can fight somebody who's mean to you, but it's hard to fight somebody who loves you and will love the hell out of you. Yeah. He'll love you past your condition. He'll love you past your pain. He'll love you. He'll wait on you. He's like the old man sitting in the rocking chair waiting for you to come home with his car. After you've been all night and didn't come in until 6 a.m., he doesn't give you a whooping. He just looks at you and he just says, I'm glad that you made it home. So he opened up his arms. And then finally, as I close, we need to understand the revelation of Jesus, that he is God. Jesus is not a teacher. He's not a Sunday school teacher that did nice things on the backside of a desert with tumbleweed passing by, with brown sandals, long flowing hair, and a beard. That's not who he is. That's not what I saw when we first opened up the verses of scripture. I didn't see Air Force Ones. And I mean one as in the first century. We're not talking about that picture of Jesus only. Somebody just got it. It's like, okay, I'm woke now. No, we're not talking about just that picture of Jesus as he walked as a man. That's only part of who he is. You see, that opening scripture that I told you revealed Jesus as the lion. When Jesus comes back, he will be a lion, dividing the nations, bringing judgment to the wicked, and he will be an enemy. But that same Jesus, while he was here, was also a lamb. Have you ever seen a lamb before? So gentle, soft. You can care for it. When you look at it, you don't want to eat it. So sweet. So innocent. Doesn't make a lot of noise. Very kind in its nature. That's the Jesus that was revealed when he came to this planet. But that's not all who he is. The lesson in that particular description lets us know that when Jesus comes, and for those of us that do know him, when we approach people that don't know him, you should be like a lamb, not a lion. Yes. Yes. Jesus is a lion to his enemies. Yes. Those that do not repent, but he's not a lion to sinners. Amen. You see that? Everybody's a sinner, but it's your approach that is so important. How do I draw thee with loving kindness? How do I bring you to myself? How do I get you to come to church? Not tell you to come to church 500 times. Just let me love on you and let me show you Jesus Christ through my own life. If you ask me, I'll tell you. If you want to know why I'm so happy and why I'm so bright, let me see that as an open door to show you Jesus Christ. This is what happened to me. in my own testimony, this is what happened to me when I was 26 years old. I wasn't saved. I was newly married. I was going to church, but I didn't really want to be in church. And then all of a sudden, as I was at a conference in Ocala, Florida, got off the stage singing a song about a man that I really didn't even know, talking about Jesus here. I didn't hear a preach message. I didn't hear a preach word. Didn't have a Bible in my hand. Just a couple of weeks before, we were in the club together. Both my wife and I just partying away like it was 1999. Back then, it's like even irrelevant now. But when I got off the stage, something happened to me. It felt like the room closed in and everything was in surround sound. And I'm not talking about just the surround sound that's in your car. I'm talking about everything was in high definition. 4DX presence of God. And it brought me to my knees. That was when I received the Lord into myself. I thought I was saved when I got baptized at 14, but I was not baptized in the Spirit of God until I was 26 years old. I grew up in church, but I didn't have a relationship with Him until that day. That's what happened to me. And ever since then, I have been trying to learn more about Him. That's why I go to church. That's why I'm smiling. That's why I am so bright and so happy. Because of what happened to me. Now, what change has happened in your life that has been sustained over decades? We change like underwear. But God changes not. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 says this. So now that we see the great I am in his revealed form in the person of Jesus Christ, we can appreciate this scripture. This scripture lets us know what type of mindset to have as those that believe in him. It says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Great minds think alike. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus is not a Sunday school teacher. He's not equal to Buddha or Muhammad, contrary to the coexist sticker that you see driving down the road. He is God. That's what I believe. Verse 7 says, but made himself, notice this is very important, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't have an ancient selfie stick saying, look at how I healed this man. Bloop, there it is. He didn't have a video of God's plan. His plan is in the Word. Used to call me on my cell phone. Da-da-da. Late night when I eat. Okay. Somebody didn't get that, but you understand God's plan. So who being in the form of God, verse 6 talking about here, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. So it was God being subject to his own creation. Now, parents, if you have kids, if you've ever been an older sister or brother, or you've ever been a teacher of young people, if you've ever had that moment when you've done a whole lot for them and they turn around and they be like, who are you? Or they become real disrespectful. You turn into another person, don't you? I know I do. And Jesus had his own creation kill him. But it was for a purpose. His own creation hated him. But he still understood. His creation was sinful, but there was still a remedy. And he didn't assault them. He said, I took your assault upon myself so that you would be saved. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, I'm going to die for these unloving, unforgiving, scornful, profanity-laced, sexually immoral people, and I'm going to love them just as if they were my own. They are now justified in the Father's sight. So even to the point of death, even the death of the cross, he gave his life for you and I. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. So that means that the name is above every name of every angel in heaven. Therefore, you should not worship them. And of everything that's on the earth, that means that you shouldn't worship a president or a pastor or somebody in your pew or anybody under the earth. Somebody that we reveal, but who's in hell right now, like your favorite rock star or R&B artist. His name is above every name. And I love this part right here. This is the part that singles everything out, that sounds so dogmatic, so exclusive, but there's only one truth, and that is that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the graphic, the last graphic that I have for you as we conclude for today is this one question, which is, who do you say that I am? I'm not talking about the man speaking with this microphone. Jesus is asking you, who do you say that I am? Jesus said, I can be whatever you want me to be, even if that includes not being in your life right now. See, that's the wonderful thing about God. It's the wonderful paradox that God gave us the power to choose to be against him or with him. That's a great responsibility to have that many people are squandering over. But for those of you that have allowed for yourself to come into the presence of God and receive his word, this answer will be revealed to you over time. You may have perfect health, but there may come a time when you will see Jesus as your healer. You may have all the money in the world, but this month you lost your job. That's the time when you find out that Jesus will be your provider. Yes. You get what I'm saying? Oh, okay, I see. Last week you had it all together, but that text message just came through while you were at work and you found out that you've just been betrayed. But Jesus said he'll stick closer than a brother. Oh, I get it. You one of them folk, type of folk that like to stay by yourself. You know, you like to put a meme on your Facebook page that has a person leaning over with blood oozing out their back with a whole bunch of knives in it, saying, I can't trust nobody. But Jesus can be trusted because he doesn't change. He's the epitome of integrity. And he will let you know that anybody who says they can't trust anyone should also include themselves. Be careful of a person who says that they can't trust anybody, as if they're the pinnacle of pure integrity, as if they're the one who says that they've never hurt anybody, never lied, never did anything, and that if you have them as a friend, they'll always be there for you. You liar. You need to humble yourself. So in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says the following. Come on, stand to your feet. Verse 6 says the following. Jesus said to him, to who? Well, Thomas was a person who loved God, but he had a whole lot of doubts. You ever been like that? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord God, you've shown yourself strong, but I happen to be one of those people that you got to do miracles for, or at least monthly. When my faith gets weak, you got to show me something. And oddly enough, Jesus obliged the request to Thomas. So Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one means no one. No one means none of the 30,000, quote unquote, that's what they say, religions that's out there. But what shall we do when somebody doesn't believe as we believe? We love and share the gospel. What is the gospel? Who Jesus is and what he came to do. That doesn't have any war in it, does it? Amen. That doesn't have any fussing or fighting, does it? That doesn't mean jumping on somebody's commentary box on Facebook or social media, does it? You just tell them who Jesus is according to scripture and what he came to do and let God do the rest. Because such were some of you. Everybody in here at one point in time didn't love God. And there's still a few of you that still don't. But at least you're hearing the call. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, Lord God. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, that didn't quite adjust to today's time change, Lord God. Still speak to them through this message, Heavenly Father, that they may listen at a later date, that they may be able to apply this to their own lives, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. Your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you for your righteousness, that it may be applied to our lives. Most of all, Lord God, we thank you for your love, for loving us past our pain, loving us out of our condition, and loving us when we really don't love you as we should. Thank you for being merciful to us, for sticking close to us like a brother, for being our friend, being our king, our deliverer, our savior. Thank you for giving us two tickets to paradise. We honor you and bless your name. And Father, finally, I pray for any individual on the sound of my voice that may be going through a tiring moment in their lives, a moment of transition, or a moment of trouble. Lord God, bring peace that surpasses all human understanding to their minds, Lord God. And Father, I also pray for this community. Lord God, you know what is in my heart and what we want to do and what type of impact that we want to have in this part of the region. Open up those doors, Lord God. Change the heart of the King, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we speak to the person that will open up the door for us. We speak to those individuals right now, and you know of whom I speak. If it be you, Lord God, let it be so. If it be in your will, Heavenly Father, let us acquire, let us rule, let us dominate. Let us seize the land. And if it not be your will, Lord God, reveal it. We humble ourselves before your throne and blow kisses to you as we sit at your feet. Let us taste and see that you are good, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us of all of our sins and trespasses and bringing us into right relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I pray that each and every one of you were able to receive this message to yourself. That even if you're in a place right now that is kind of rough, continue to hold on to God, and he'll make that path straight. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He can move mountains. He causes walls to fall. He has power along with miracles. There is nothing that is impossible. And we're standing here only because he made a way. God, you made a way. He made a way. Amen. So now, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right, be blessed, people of God. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Okay, so let us extend our hands towards this young lady in the back. And I pray that any feeling of awkwardness. Yes, I do feel the Holy Spirit at this moment in time. So let us take this particular moment not to embarrass, not to judge, because that's not our role. But let us pray for this young lady. I don't know you. I don't know what you've been through. But God knows. And that's all that I need to know. So, Father, I thank you. And I pray for this young lady, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, touch her right now. Touch her in her body. Touch her in her mind, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, let her know, Heavenly Father, that she is here for a purpose. We bind every spirit that wants to take her out of this world, bring her peace in her mind. Every spirit of depression, Lord God, we cast it down in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, you know. And Lord God, we ask you, Heavenly Father, right now to touch it where it hurts. And let her know that there is a brighter day that is coming. So, Lord God, we just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you reveal yourself like never before to her, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Made a way.
Don't know how.
Don't know how.
Impossible. We're standing here only because you've made mountains. Only because
you made, and we're standing here only because you made a way.
Amen. Consider yourselves dismissed. Pass the peace, hug somebody, and tell them that you love them. Be blessed.